Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. On the second half of the show, I am joined by Cork Snyder. He is an educator for over 37 years, mostly teaching AP statistics in Westminster. For the past 30 years, he's known as Statman around campus. He's been blessed to be around incredible students. He's also coached basketball, was the athletic director at the school as well. And he's going to share his powerful journey as a veteran cyclist, educator, and mental health advocate, and to discuss what fuels his commitment to leading the Tour de NAMI, which is a ride from Pacifica to Oceanside in support of mental health awareness. And he is joining us now. The event kicks off May 30th to June 7th. Good morning, Cork.
Morning. How are you doing?
Good. Is that your real name?
It's not, but I don't give out my real name.
That's okay.
No, my real name's Craig.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all right.
I've been going by, my ancestors were born in County Cork, Ireland.
Oh,
and
I
that
love
was
that.
A childhood nickname. And I went by that especially because the Lakers had a power forward named Corky Calhoun that I emulated when I was a kid. So there you go.
I love that. Tell me about how you got involved with NAMI.
I got involved with NAMI because I started a bike ride about 4 years ago.
Okay.
That because I had so many kids with mental health issues, and my older brother had just died from complications of drug addiction. He'd been an addict for 25 years.
Oof.
He took drugs for 25 straight years, got clean, but in the end, he ended up dying. He actually had a kind of a brain disorder, but, you know, the drugs obviously speed up the aging process, so to make a long story short, he died. And he had really lived a kind of a miserable life, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's so sad.
And I had so many other students that struggle with mental health issues. And then I had a former student come along and during COVID that was had been on the streets. And my wife and I kind of ministered to her. And we had her in one of our Bible studies online at the time. And then I got this idea through my friend Rick Burns. Rick is a teacher at Lowera. And he said, hey, let's do a ride for mental health. We ride all the time.
Okay.
So we have a club on campus, the NAMI club on campus. Shout out to my La Quinta kids on campus. They have a club.
Yes.
And I approached them and said, hey, I got an idea. So we pitched it to NAMI, and Amy Durham, the CEO over there, loved it. And we just kind of went with it. And we kind of have a different route every year, but we kind of go from the Bay Area to Orange County.
Okay.
And it's we get corporate sponsors and we get, you know, individual sponsors, and we just try to spread the word mostly through social media. And other years we don't, where we just stop and talk about mental health and the importance of it.
Yes.
And I ride all the time. I ride probably 100 miles a week. So this is just a natural extension of a talent that I happen to have and my friend happens to have as well. So that's kind of the background of it.
Let me just tell listeners that NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And tomorrow is Mental Health Action Day. And also throughout this month has been Mental Health Awareness Month. So that's also why I wanted to bring you on. NAMI is an important part of my life. I'm a member of NAMI. I'm a mental health advocate, and it's a big part of my show here at KUCI.
Yeah, you do a great job of that. I have a website that explains the whole ride. It's somedayproductions.org. It's, again, someday, spelled like somedayproductions.org, and it has the whole ride. We actually start riding May 30th, and then we conclude like June 4th in Orange County on May 28th. At my high school, La Quinta High School in Westminster.
Okay.
We're having a rally at 6 p.m. in the cafeteria where I'm going to speak and tell kind of the story of the ride. And so will Amy Durham will be there. She'll be speaking. And I got a current student, Jamal, that's going to be speaking. And then I have a former student who's has like a mental health clinic in Villa Park. She's going to be speaking as well. She has Femi Health, this clinic in Villa Park, does physical and mental well-being for ladies. And she's going to speak as well, so we're going to kick it off with a rally, and then I'll drive up to San Francisco with the support vehicle on the 29th. The support vehicle is Amy Durham. She's driving it. It'll be great.
Fantastic.
And then my buddy Rick's flying in the 29th, and we start riding the 30th, and we do about 80 miles a day.
I was going to ask you, 80 miles a day, how do you train for this? And also, if people want to, can people join in on this ride?
Yeah, people join in on the ride all the time. We have kind of stopping points. Every day I put like a little bulletin out where we're staying, where we're at.
Yes.
And then the next morning we usually start at 9 a.m. And then people will show up and join us. It happens all the time. We've had up to 20 people join us for the day, and sometimes it's one person and sometimes it's nobody.
Yeah.
But we definitely open it up to people if they want to join us for the particular day.
Yes.
We've never had anybody join the whole ride, but a day ride is perfect for a lot of people. They just kind of arrange their own pickup at the other end. So our shortest day is about 80. Our longest day is 100 this year.
Yeah.
And you asked about the training. The training is I pretty much starting in January, I get out twice a week from school around 3 o'clock, get on my bike, and try to get as many miles in before dark as I can during the winter months.
Okay.
Then on Saturdays, I crank it up and do about 50. And then I never actually do 80 very often. I go down to San Diego probably every other month. So that's like 100. So I guess I do it a little bit, but I just kind of mix it in here and there because, you know, I teach and have responsibilities other places, but I definitely squeeze it in. It's definitely a priority, and cycling is definitely the number one form of my mental health. I mean, it's my best friend. It's my psychologist.
Yes. Yeah.
It's everything. When you're out there, you just got to remind yourself not to be in your head, to see the clouds and the ocean and look around.
Be present.
You know how that is. You're doing something, but your mind is somewhere else.
Of
That's
course.
Not what you want to be doing.
Yeah. And what a blessing it is to be able to physically be there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So my buddy knows when my mind is drifting. He says, hey, what's going on back there? And I'll say, oh, nothing. Sorry about that. I was thinking about something else, you know, kind of a thing. So he's an extremely strong rider. So he's, but it's a lot of fun. Like I said, I did a benefit ride in 2004. I went across America.
Whoa.
For this kid that needed a new kidney.
Okay.
His name was Fat, and Fat ended up on a float for the Rose Parade representing organ donation for the Southern California area.
Fantastic.
Turned into this real big deal. And then years later, we started this Tour de NAMI. There's the bell, the end of first period for your listeners.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
my kiddos are leaving, and I don't have a class next period, so
okay.
When they get out. So.
Or you're cutting.
Anyhow.
You're playing hooky.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but it's a great cause, like I said. And then the gal that started this ride, her name's Marie, that started this whole thing with me in the 2022 was our first year that we did this. Given her situation, she was on the streets and really struggled, and we thought we could do something like this. That's been very encouraging to her, and she's done great. So,
now,
this is in honor of my brother Steve and all my students, and I'm doing it for myself too because I want to. It's fun to be part of something bigger than yourself.
It sure is. That's a big way to get out of your funk, is to do something for other people.
For sure. That's exactly exactly the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you ride this every single year?
We do. We missed one year just because we had some complications with some timing of things when I was available and when NAMI was available.
Okay.
So we missed one year. But in general, this is our fourth year doing this. We've been at four the last 5 years.
And tell me about Rick, your partner.
Rick is awesome. So Rick Burns, he teaches at La Jolla High School. He teaches AP U.S. history over there. Very successful teacher. He was a quarterback in NFL Europe. He's a great big guy. He's about 6'5", 220. And he's an incredible writer. So he's, you know, just a really good person. Kids love him at his school. His school is only about 4 miles away from mine. We live in the same city, and we were introduced to each other by a mutual friend. And that mutual friend is actually deceased, so that's another whole reason. My best friend in the world died. It's the guy that linked me and Rick together. So, but Rick is, he's always, if I ever need him to do, you know, some ride or something, he's on there. Just tell me where to be and what to bring, you know, kind of a thing. He's kind of that kind of guy.
You are stuck together for life.
Yeah, he's awesome. It's good to have a guy like that.
You bet.
You know, in your corner. And he's a tremendous rider. So if the wind gets heavy, I just get behind him.
Well, that's great. Let me just give a mention to listeners. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Cork Snyder, who is going to be involved with Tour de NAMI, as he does every year from May 30th to June 7th. He's riding with his friend Rick, the California coast, and 80 miles. And I put all the information on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. What else would you like listeners to know about this journey that you're taking?
Well, I think the main message to, obviously there's a message to people that we're trying to reduce the stigma of mental health. Get help if you need it. Don't be afraid to talk about it. That's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But also for people that think that they want to give part of their life to a cause, you can. I just happen to be a really good cyclist, or at least good enough to do this. And I just use this particular talent for somebody else's good. And I think if you look at your life that way, you can do a lot of good. Like, you know, if you're a painter, you could do painting for people that are lonely. I don't know. You could do, whatever your talent is, you can apply it to something. Mine just happens to fit like a tour type thing. So I think it's good for people to always do something for society, do some sort of volunteer thing.
You bet.
It enriches your life. This ends up being kind of an all-year-round thing for me because I'm training or planning or thinking about it or whatever, so I'm doing something bigger than myself almost all year round.
That's great.
And I think that's just the best thing for my personal mental health.
It sure is, because you're taking care of you, but you're also thinking outside of yourself, whatever it is you're going through, and the importance of social health and connection have never been more essential, especially when people are so tied to their phones. And post-pandemic, a lot of people have struggled with social anxiety and disconnect, and there's research that there's a loneliness epidemic.
You know, it's funny you say that, Jeannie. I see it in my class all the time. The kids, there's always a couple minutes at the end of class where you're done for the day. The kids, their first thing is not to turn to their friends and ask them, how's it going? Their first thing they do is grab their phone.
Right.
And everybody knows this, but it's kind of a problem. I mean,
huge problem.
And kids don't really know how to, like, talk face to face.
That's right.
They prefer that I electronically email them or, you know, communicate that way. They don't really want to have a face to face conversation. They have trouble making eye contact, some of these things. And this generation is way smarter than ours.
Yeah.
They know more languages. They are better at computers. They have a lot of soft skills that we didn't have, but this is the area that my generation is better than them, is the communication piece, especially face-to-face, they need to have that skill.
I would say that's because of the pandemic. There was a lot of developmental milestones that were missed, and when you're not in person and you're just communicating on a phone and you're liking stuff, you're on Instagram, wherever, whatever it is you're doing, you're not in person, and that... I mean, I've always struggled with social anxiety, and I remember in high school being very shaky giving presentations, and so to have that practice and do it maybe in a playful way or riding your bike and just meeting new people, it's so uplifting.
Yeah, I tell the kids all the time during class, you know, whenever I get a chance, those soft skills, meeting people, the ability to meet people and make yourself feel comfortable right away is going to create more opportunity than just about anything else you've ever done. You know, I've met so many people in strange arenas, and they've ended up helping me on everything from fixing my car to my taxes to my career. I mean, just because I'm friendly.
Yes.
You know, and those kids, you know, I encourage those kids to practice that skill. I would do it a lot in class, and I try to get to know every kid that I have and encourage them in that way.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, you're spot on. Yeah.
I will say this, that one of the things I've noticed that's very effective is instead of us as adults trying to get them to speak up, because that's when their heart's pounding through their chest with social anxiety, is to maybe form student panels and get them to talk about topics. And then you'll see how they engage with their peers as opposed to us creating. I call them the engine, and we're just the framework.
Interesting. You know what I've done is I have a TikTok handle. I teach statistics. I'm Statman on TikTok.
Okay.
And a lot of kids like it when I post. They kind of communicate through that app. Well, that was really funny, Mr. Snyder, or whatever.
Yes.
that has really helped me, even though it's kind of the opposite of what we were talking about. It does kind of help me to get to know the kids, you know, because they have a way to connect with me. Even kids that don't know me on campus will say, "Hey, Mr. Hey, Statman, how's it going? I have it on TikTok. Oh, hope you take my class. I can't wait to take it," or whatever.
Oh, I like that.
They see it as a way of meeting them on their level, and then from there I get to know them a little bit better. Plus, I see their little personalities on there, so you can kind of pick up on kind of some of the trends, which helps you actually communicate with them, and then you can have more things to talk about.
I love
that. So that's one thing that I've done that's really helped my career.
I wanted to share something with you. I just came back from a fellowship, it's an unbelievable experience, with the National Press Foundation. I was in D.C. last week covering workplace mental health. And you just said something a little while back. You said you encourage people to get help. Don't be afraid to talk about it. And I started thinking this morning, because I'm going to be writing more articles and interviewing people. There are a lot of people that are afraid to talk about it. And what would you say to young people that they don't know where to start as far as getting help? They very hesitant. They are afraid. They're very introverted. What would you say to them?
I have worked with there every day, Janine. When I come to school, I ask myself three questions as I get started for my day, and the last question is, "Who needs me today?" So I'm always looking for kids that need some help.
That's great.
My advice to those kids is, you do have to be careful who you tell your issue to, because you know it can get into the gossip pipeline. You got to be careful. So have your eyes really be attentive on who is safe out there.
Yes.
Is it a teacher that is safe? Is it an administrator that is safe? Is it a friend? Is it a parent? You know, who is safe out there? And really pay attention to who is safe. And then once you find that safe person, tell them that, "Hey, I think you're a safe person. I got to tell you this. What do you think I should do, you know, to get some? I'm feeling depressed right now. Can you help me or give me some resources?" Find that safe person. Pay attention to that. Because sometimes when people are feeling down, they're actually more perceptive because everything around them is really sharp.
Yes.
And you can figure out who is safe. And once you find that safe person, approach them and ask them, "Hey, in confidentiality, could you help me?" You know, use your practice, your words there. And then from there, you'll be shocked what it takes. I can't tell you how many times this year I've had kids tell me, "And my grandfather died, I'm feeling down." Or and two other kids just said, "I'm just depressed, I don't know why." There's like four kids this year. Every day I check and say, "How are you today?" on the site. "Hey, how's it going today?"
I love
every
that.
Four of them, every day, because, and all four of them have either written in my yearbook, which just came out, or they have told me on the side, "It feels so good to have someone checking on me."
Oh, yes.
You know, so if you're an adult out there, just checking on somebody, and that can be done via text. This is where the phone can be a great tool. Mm-hmm. "How's it going today? Tell me what's up." You know, you can just do that for them, and it makes them feel so much better because they feel safe all of a sudden because they have a fallback position, someone to lean on, and then everything changes for them. All four of those kids, everything changed as soon as they knew there was one person every day that would check on them and compliment them.
And that cared.
Right.
Somebody
right.
cares about me. Somebody's asking me, how am I really?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's when you're 16, 17, that can feel really lonely because you're not an adult, but you're not a kid. I mean, what are you? You can't take care of yourself, but you want to. It's a really hard time.
It is.
So when I check on them, I get to know all about them. "Hey, how did work go this weekend?" You know, one kid works kind of near me, so I stop by and say hi to her once in a while. I'm on my bike. I just wave at her. "How's it going?" It's like 3 seconds, and then I leave again because I don't want to bother her doing work.
Sure.
But I want to make sure that she feels like I thought of her and stopped by. You know what I mean?
I think that's great. So, absolutely. Anything else you'd like to leave listeners with regarding your ride and where they can meet up with you at the 79th mile? No, I'm joking.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to do it. So you can say, "We rode with them." Well, I would say go to the website thumbdayproductions.org, and that'll give you the route and the timing of everything. And then if you want to put on your calendar, May 28th at 6 p.m. at La Quinta High School in Westminster, which is near Fountain Valley. So our address is 10372 McFadden Avenue. We're having a rally, and we're going to talk about the ride, and then I'll be on my way. So I really appreciate you having me on your show.
My pleasure, absolutely. And I'm going to just mention again, all the information is on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And I want to thank you so much, Cork, for calling in. This was fantastic.
All right. Thank you very much.
My
Have
pleasure.
A great day.
Be well. Again, that was Cork Snyder calling in to talk about his upcoming Tour de NAMI, May 30th to June 7th. He's riding with his friend Rick along the California coast to raise awareness and funds for mental health. You can support their journey by riding along or donating. I put all the information up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. You can also find out more by going to NAMIOC.org/tour-denami, D-E-N-A-M-I. Before we wrap up and I bring on SoCal New Waver with Pass Forward, fantastic show at the top of the hour, I do want to mention once more that it is our fund drive time. We would love your support. This is the time we come to you to ask for your support because we love doing what we're doing. We're bringing you this independent programming throughout Orange County and beyond, streaming online at kuci.org 24/7 since 1969. Hard to believe. And without you, we couldn't keep doing this. So we would love your support of any amount. Even a $35 pledge is only $2.92 a month. And that's only 9.5 cents a day for all you non-math majors like me. We began as an underground radio station in the late 1960s, broadcasting illegally from a dorm room on the UCI campus for a few hours each afternoon until the Federal Communications Commission shut us down. In 1968, UCI engineering student Craig Will began the process of applying to the FCC for a legitimate broadcast license and started the chain of events that led to KUCI becoming a legal broadcast station. And due to the pressures of school, Craig left the project and turned it over to Earl Arbuckle, who became a station's first chief engineer. We went on to have an incredible history, and here we are in 2026. So I'm going to hand the mic over to SoCal New Waver, and I'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. You can always shoot me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org.